Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, let's move on to health. Most of us have heard the saying that genes are not destiny, that environment also plays a big role in making us who we are. But there are a few genetic disorders that are so powerful they can change our destiny, regardless of other factors. Or so we thought. With me now to explain is the editor of WBUR's Common Health blog, Carrie Goldberg. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
So first of all, these particular genetic disorders that we're talking about that are this powerful, which ones are they?
Yes. So they are a group of disorders called the Mendelian disorders, after Gregor Mendel, the monk with his peas, who's kind of the father of modern genetics. And these are diseases like sickle cell anemia, Tay-Sachs disease, cystic fibrosis. So with them, a mutation in a single gene can cause them. And once you have the mutation, you're pretty much destined to have the disease. And most of them don't have any cure. So they're very serious single gene disorders. So now it turns out that for a very rare few people, they seem to have this sort of they may have super genes that are sort of hiding among their DNA and that protect them from what we thought was certain illness. So that's the upshot of a study that came out today in Nature Biotechnology, the journal.
Okay, now I understand that the study is very unusual because most of the times researchers are trying to find what gene causes what particular disease.
Right.
But in this case, the researchers found cases in which genes didn't cause the disease they were supposed to?
Exactly. So the researchers are even there. They're calling it the Resilience Project because they were looking for people who have genes that should have determined that they would be either sick or dead, but the people weren't. So here's Dr. Stephen Friend. He's president of Sage BioNetworks and a co-author of the study.
This work was based on the idea that if you wanted to find clues to prevention, that what you should do is instead of looking at people who are with disease, you would want to look at people who should have gotten sick.
So in other words, they had genes that should have made them sick, but they weren't. So they were looking for people who must have some other protective, like super good genes at work to buffer the bad genes.
Okay, and so how did they figure out that some of those people could be protected?
Well, so they did it very systematically. This was a study of more than 500,000 genomes. They were studying hundreds of genes. And among all these genes, they found just 13 adults who had mutations for 8 severe Mendelian conditions, but none of them actually had symptoms of disease. And the key was that they screened the health records, the medical records for these people, so that they could catch healthy people who didn't display symptoms.
Okay. Now, I understand that this was a pilot, but it's nevertheless, it seems like a really big deal.
It's a big deal. It's getting a lot of coverage today in places like Wired and The Atlantic. And I think it just kind of captures the imagination, like the idea that there could be these very rare people out there whose genetic makeups could somehow hold the key to helping many other people who have the bad mutations and also do get the symptoms of the disease. So in the journal Nature Biotechnology, there's a commentary by a Boston-based scientist, Daniel MacArthur of Mass General and the Broad Institute. And he uses this very sexy term, genetic superheroes. Like, these are people who are genetically just super resilient. And I just bet this is a term that will enter the sort of popular lexicon.
Absolutely. But in terms of medicine, Carrie, it seems like the takeaway here is that we need to figure out what those superhero mutations are that are providing the protection, right?
Absolutely. And also how they work so that we can replicate it. But that's going to be very long term. There are actually more immediate lessons. So I spoke with Dr. Isaac Kohani. He chairs Harvard's Department of Biomedical Informatics. And he says, yeah, you know, we already pretty much knew that there were some people whose genes showed that they should have a disease, but they didn't seem to have it. But this new study takes it a step further. And the lesson is how very, very careful we need to be about acting on gene information in this era when it's gotten so much cheaper to get our genes sequenced.
We saw it in the case of a prostate-specific antigen, where having high levels of this protein was always diagnostic of prostate cancer. Of course, we've learned otherwise, but only after tens of thousands of prostates were removed needlessly. So the question arises, how many of these clinically irrelevant findings are there?
Okay, but Carrie, I'm a little confused because the PSA test, it's not a genetic test.
No, it's not. But he's using it to make a point. And he makes this other really major point, which is that we desperately need to be able to match up our gene information with clinical information like medical records so that we can get a much better idea of how genes actually play out before we act on them.
Okay, so overall, Carrie, it feels like we need more research, though.
We always need more research, yes. And meanwhile, as patients, Kohane says, we can ask for access to our medical records to be made available to researchers like this Resilience Project. There's a federal initiative called the Blue Button. And meanwhile, I guess we can just kind of all hope that we might secretly be genetic superheroes.
Well, Carrie Goldberg is the editor of WBUR's Common Health blog. What a great story. And we've got a link to her post on it at radioboston.org. Carrie, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.